In Luke, his disciples have been sent out by Jesus on their mission. And indeed, Jesus himself is on his own mission. So in this section of Luke, we're told that he has set out for Jerusalem. Chapter 9, verse 51 is a turning point in the gospel where we're told that Jesus is intentionally now going to the cross, going to die for the sins of the world. He is on his mission. And the disciples are on their mission, witnessing, evangelizing, healing, teaching about the kingdom of God as they go along the road to Jerusalem. It's exciting, it's difficult, it's extremely busy work. Christian service can be hectic if we take it seriously. Going to services and meetings, witnessing to people, inviting people to church and to special events, preparing talks for some of us, preparing music or food or teaching children or whatever our job might be. But this story about Mary and Martha reminds us that there is much more to being a Christian than just running around all the time. Luke says that Christians should not be in hectic activity all the time, but rather that we should sit at the feet of the Lord as a priority, listening to him. This is the same Mary and Martha whom we read about a few weeks ago before Christmas in the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. That was John chapter 11. Mary and Martha are sisters who live with their brother Lazarus. They are both believers in Christ. They both love Christ. And the story indicates that Jesus knows them very well. Well, here in Luke 10, Jesus comes to visit them in their home. Now remember, Jesus and his disciples are heading for Jerusalem, heading for the cross. And as they go, his mission team is witnessing. Jesus has already sent out 72 missionaries. We notice that from the very start of the chapter. And he tells them what to do as they go through the villages. They are to heal the sick, verse 9, and they are to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. So it won't be an easy mission. Some will receive them, verse 10, and some won't receive them. Now, in our story, Mary and Martha have received Jesus. They've received him into their home, and they've received him into their lives. So as we look at these two women and at this story, we discover what it looks like when someone does receive him. What will it be like for any of us who receive the Lord? And it's quite simple. In fact, there's really only one message within this episode. Something simple for us to remember all the way through the year. And it is that we are to listen to Jesus. When you receive him, you listen to him. I'll try to put some flesh on those bones in a minute when we think of what listening to Jesus looks like. But for now, we have to take on board the significance of what Jesus says here. He wants us to listen to him. There is one priority at verse 42. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. There's only one thing necessary. Listening to Jesus. You see, in the story, Jesus enters the home of the sisters in Bethany, and Mary sits down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, while Martha is serving him, and probably serving his disciples too. I've always imagined her busy preparing a meal or something, but we're not told what it is that she's doing. She's just serving. She's doing something good. But whatever she's doing, Jesus explains that it is not as significant as what Mary is doing, who is simply, merely, only listening to Jesus. But Jesus explains that this is what he wants. And the story may seem a little unfair to you. You might feel a bit sorry for Martha. She certainly has my sympathies. I mean, she is the one who is so busy, entertaining. Imagine if there was a well-known VIP coming to visit your house. I was talking to a farmer from Lisburn recently, a Church of Ireland man. He breeds a special kind of free-range chicken. And this breeding had been sponsored by a charity headed by Prince Charles. So just a couple of years ago, maybe three years ago, Prince Charles came to visit his farm. And there he was in this farm outside Lisburn, drinking tea with Prince Charles at his dining room table. And I'm sure the farmer and his wife were flat out to get everything ready for him, spick and span, the best china. That would be normal. So think about what it's like for Martha. She has some idea of who Jesus is, perhaps not a fully formed doctrine that he is the Son of God, but we don't know. He's certainly her Lord and Savior. She's busy doing her very best for him. And I imagine she sees her sister, Mary, apparently doing nothing. And eventually Martha reaches boiling point. And here we get to a very socially awkward situation. Martha loses it and complains to Jesus that Mary is doing nothing. She's just sitting there, slacking. The house must go embarrassingly quiet. When she gives Jesus an order, tell her to help me. But we probably have some sympathy with Martha, which is why Jesus' rebuke is so surprising. Jesus reprimands Martha. Now, he does it very gently. He loves Martha, but he longs for Martha's attention rather than her activity. I love the way that he addresses her by using her name twice in verse 41. Martha, Martha, he says. It's a kind, tender rebuke. But he gently explains that Mary is right to sit at his feet, that only one thing is necessary, verse 42, and that Mary is doing that one thing, listening to Jesus. And they're not just talking about the weather, Mary and Jesus. They're talking about the kingdom, because that is the subject that the disciples have been instructed to bring into every house. And that is what Jesus is doing. He's giving them an example of how to speak about the kingdom. And Luke has recorded this story for us. And there's an urgent message for us here, which the church needs to hear again and again. And too many churches don't seem to hear it. One thing is necessary. One thing. Listening to Jesus. You see, what this episode is reminding us of and warning us of is that churches fall into the game often of spinning plates. So at the circus or on TV, you used to see some juggler spinning plates on poles. He would start with one or two and then a few more, and then he'd go back round and give the first ones another good spin and frantically, impressively use all his skill to keep all the plates spinning. Entertaining, perhaps. But for churches, Jesus says, no, one thing is necessary. Not trying to juggle 100. And that one thing is listening to Jesus. I have a Christian friend who loves to say about church, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. We're not here just to keep all the plates spinning. There's one thing that matters to our church at Knockreta, I trust. The main thing, the gospel, the word, listening to Jesus. There's that one item that trumps all others. Allow the other plates to drop and smash if you have to, as long as we are listening to Jesus. And what about you? What's your main thing? When you look at your life, are you like Martha, serving Jesus? Are you more like Mary, listening to Jesus? Or honestly, are you like neither of them really? Well, I hope you see the magnitude of this instruction from Christ. I hope you see its importance. Listening to Jesus comes above everything else in life, in your life, in my life, above my hobbies, above my work, above my family responsibilities, above my church responsibilities, ahead of all our church plans and activities, ahead of all our outreach plans. And this story, this episode, is not just a one-off in the Gospels. We're constantly being told to listen to the word of Jesus. Do you remember what happened at Jesus' baptism by John at the Jordan? There was a voice the voice of God, no less, which said, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." You see, this is God's priority for us at North Rita in the 2016 and beyond, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. Or what about the parable of the house on the rock, which Luke has recounted just a few chapters earlier? Two builders, two houses, two foundations, one on sand, one like a rock. And Jesus concludes that everyone who comes to him hears his word, and does his word, is like a builder who builds on the rock. When the storms come, and it will, your house will not shake. Listen to Jesus. Do what he says, you'll never be shaken. Listen to him and act on his words. And Luke is such a marvelous writer, a marvelous compiler of these stories of Jesus. He's contrasting activity and listening. You see, chapter 10 here is full of activity. If we'd had time to read it all, we would have discovered Jesus sending out those 72 disciples round the villages, evangelizing, how active they must have been. Yes, of course, Jesus needs workers who will be active for him. He needs you. He needs me. He wants you. He wants me to serve him. But we need to know what we should be doing, how we should be serving, how we should be ministering. So above all, we're to be at Jesus' feet, listening to him. And also in this chapter, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which is his most practical parable. It's all about Christian activity, about love and good works and kindness. The Good Samaritan helps his neighbor. And then Jesus finishes there in verse 37 by saying, "Go and do likewise. Go like and be like the Good Samaritan. Go and be active for Jesus in good works." We're to do all that we can on his behalf, in his name. But at the same time as being active, we have to remember that he has already done it all for us. He has won salvation for his people. He's opened up the kingdom of heaven. He died on the cross. He's done it all. So as we can know him, so as we can pray to him, and get to know him, and listen to his word. Oh, it's such a blessing to sit at the feet of Jesus. Can you not imagine Mary here, rapt and attentive, her heart burning within her as she blocks out everything else and listens to the words of Christ? And as we make time too to sit at the feet of Jesus, we will find peace, peace of heart. We'll find salvation, new life with God. We'll find wisdom, spiritual knowledge, which we'll never get from the world. Just to finish with, let's think about how we listen to Jesus. So given the priority that we've just learned about, listening to Jesus, how do we actually go about listening to God today? There's so much confusion about this, even within the churches, even within Bible-believing evangelical churches. In one sense, it's the biggest question anyone could ask. How do we hear from Jesus? How do we hear from God? What will it look like? I'm going to give you a very simple, straightforward answer and avoid any ambiguity. We listen to Jesus as we read his word, the Bible. We hear from God as we read his word. And Orthodox, confessional Christians through the centuries have always believed this. We listen to Jesus as we open up the pages of his word and read them. And you know, there's no other way. I hope you don't think that sounds dry. I hope you're not disappointed that I'm not divulging a more spiritual secret. Because it's not dry. It's not boring. It's exhilarating. It's enlightening. It's inspiring. In the power of the Spirit, it's like reading no other book. It's exactly as Jesus describes it here. It is sitting at his feet and listening to him. If you're a golfer, imagine meeting Rory McIlroy and having 10 or 15 minutes with him, just listening to his advice and teaching and encouragement. about your swing? Would that be dull? Or if you liked tennis, meeting Andy Murray, sports personality of the year, and hearing him talk about his life and maybe giving you some advice, how would you feel in his presence? Or whoever your hero is, imagine meeting them, spending time with them, listening to them. Well, that is what reading the Bible is like for the Christian. You're listening to Jesus. Now, for the unbeliever, the Bible is just another book, sadly. But for the Christian believer, it is life-transforming. It is life-giving. Because it connects you to God. And was that not your own experience of the Bible after you became a Christian? It's the most precious thing because through it, you're able to listen to Jesus. In 1953, at the Queen's coronation, the Queen was presented with a Bible as part of the ceremony. And the symbolism was profound. She had already received the crown jewels. In fact, on the tip of her scepter was the Star of Africa, the fabulous diamond that was worth over £200 million. In a sense, she already had that when she was given the Bible with the words, "This book is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. Here is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." In other words, this is the living, active speech of God. The lively oracles of God. Even more precious than the Star of Africa or any other gem. The most valuable thing in the world. God's word written. As the 39 articles in the prayer book call it. And this is what the Bible claims to be. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, "It has been breathed out by God, just as we breathe out our words." 2 Peter 1 verse 20 says that in Scripture the prophets spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In fact, all the New Testament letters are written to the churches. If you notice, they're from the apostles who represent Jesus, speaking on his behalf, to the church in Corinth, to the church in Rome, to the church in Galatia. And the Old Testament is constantly declaring about itself, "Thus saith the Lord." So the Bible is how we listen to Jesus. And therefore we must get reading it. It'll be such a blessing if we do. A great doorway has been opened for us into heaven. And we just have to open the pages of Scripture to find it. If you want to know all the truth from God, and you want to listen to Jesus, well, read it a little every day, however you do it. In the past, Christians might have been a little prescriptive, a little legalistic about how long you should be reading and in what way you should be reading, what Bible version you should be using, and so on. Nowadays, you can get the Scriptures on your phone or on any electronic device. You can get an audio book. I saw an NIV translation read by David Suchet. You can listen to sermons online on the computer or use some of the many fantastic Bible reading notes available. Just ask me about those if you want to get started. But however you do it, it's just so essential because it is listening to Jesus. That's why I'm so delighted that there are 14 or 15 of us doing this Six Steps to Reading Your Bible course. It's helping us listen to Jesus. So that's Martha and Mary. Martha, a bit of an activist. And Jesus loves her. It's not that we should never be active. Nothing would ever get done if we never lifted a finger to peel a potato. But Mary is listening to Jesus speak. There's no comparison. Was Martha more concerned with the material things like bread and food for Jesus? Mary was concerned with the bread of life, Jesus' teaching, his words, and Jesus commends her for it. Mary is like the good soil in the parable. The seed falls on it, the word falls on it, and she takes it to heart. This new year, let us attend well to Jesus. Attend well to his word. Only one thing is necessary. Let us pray.